gentlemen. This is the Lineup Logic Podcast, the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on FanDuel. Sean Kane here. I'm your host. Of course, it is Tuesday, February 7th. It is a boring little three-game slate. Nothing like last night. 11-game slate monster. Some crazy games. You know, of course, Washington-Cleveland really being one of just the most competitive and interesting games that we've seen in the Eastern Conference of late. Just a reminder, folks, LeBron James, he is still the GOAT, as far as, the 21st century goes. Anyhow, in the next hour, we'll preview the night to come in the NBA, spreads, injury news, followed by a breakdown of players to target on the slate upcoming. I mean, you know, you really only have, you only have three games to pick from. So, I mean, we're not talking about a ton of players here. Six guys basically at every position that you're interested in. So not a ton of good action. But before we do that, we will recap the previous day's lineup in the previous day's show. One of these nights. Okay, so I made some moves. We had some, you know, rock solid calls yesterday on the pod. I had some not so good ones, as well. You know, the reality is it was kind of 50-50, and a lot of lineups had that. You know, you had a couple guys who just did great, you were super pleased with, and a couple guys who just absolutely, you know, did terrible, and you needed exposure to the guys who really did well last night in order to cash. You know, we nailed, you know, Dwayne Wade did great. LeBron did great. Blake did really well. That was a good call. I hope some people played Dick and of course Blake. And of course, AD did well. AD was super chalky. People were all over Anthony Davis. Yogi hits value. Cat hits value. Jamal Crawford hits value. You know, and Matt Barnes and PJ Tucker, who were super chalky, they played extremely well. Both scored as much as Andrew Wiggins. You know, I think the misses were all over the place for people. We missed on Beal, we missed on Jrue Holiday, which were just two. You know, tons of everybody who had Beal or Holiday seemed to be in the cash. And you know, and if the opposite was true too, if you were on like Devin Booker or D'Angelo Russell, who both just killed people by just, you know, going 3x basically. You know, D'Angelo was really Boogie really, really was frustrating. He had an amazing second half. He had like 30 FD points in the second half, but he only had like, you know, 10 or 15, I think, in the first half. The Bulls just like pestered him. Of course, he ended up with the two techs in that game, and it probably will be suspended for the next game. Bulls got under his skin for sure. You know, Jokic was not a bad call, you know, but the reality was that game became a blowout, and I don't really know how. Like, I mean, I do know how. Like, Will Barton went 12 of 18. You know, he made five threes in the second quarter, and the Nuggets were up by 22 at halftime. So, you know, Jokic only plays 23 minutes and only puts up six shots because freaking Barton is just lighting it up. You know, it's kind of this hot hand situation. You know, if Barton shoots his normal numbers and shoots, then Jokic is on track for 40 plus, which is really nice. Just frustrating. You know, you can't really predict that. He had a decent matchup. He was getting what he wanted as far as rebounds and assists and points. He just wasn't. He didn't have to play any minutes, and he didn't have to exert himself when you had a, you know, they had a hot shooter on their team. So, you know, I personally didn't cash because I ended up getting on Jokic over Blake and over AD. You know, I think a couple changes there and I would have been fine. But, you know, I went overweight on studs and that hurt me. So frustrating, but, you know, hey, it was a good night. For a lot of people, there were some interesting plays, and hopefully you had a couple of them. Let's dive into tonight. Okay, so like I said, three games, pretty boring night. You know, I think it's a GPP kind of night. You know, we always say GPP night on a short slate, just because you never know who's going to hit, and maybe, you know, you have a better chance of hitting. In that situation, you know, when you have a lot of the ability to create a lot of really interesting lineup combinations with only three games. So, you know, maybe play some GPPs, maybe play really light, maybe play some small leagues, whatever you want to do. We have three games, two really stand out, and the third is kind of meh. All right, here we are. We got Brooklyn at Charlotte, 219 total here. Charlotte favored by 10 at home. You've got Cody Zeller is the big news here. Zeller is a game time decision. Still with that that quad contusion. I don't know if he's going to play. On the Brooklyn side of the ball, Caris LeVert is out, which kind of opens up the backcourt a little bit. You know, you get maybe a little more Bojan Bogdanovic and maybe a little bit more Sean Kilpatrick. This game is absolutely in play just because there's going to be a lot of scoring and it's pace up. And, you know, you like that the Hornets are home coming off a rest, both teams coming off a rest. So not bad, not bad. Orlando at Houston, 223 total in this one. Houston favored by 11 at home. We've got the only real injuries here, you know, Fournier's back in the mix on the Magic side. Jody Meek's still out, so, you know, not really worried about that. Nene has a groin. He looks like he's probably not going to play, which would definitely open up the minutes for Capella and Montrezl Harrell to really probably get the run there. But we'll keep an eye on that situation. I don't think that they will force Nene out there in what should be a pretty easy game for the Rockets. So, those are your two better games. Then you've got Portland at Dallas, 205 total in this one. Portland favored by 1 on the road. Lillard has an ankle, and that's only interesting because if for whatever reason Lillard sits, then you have to fire up CJ McCollum. He really just basically takes on that whole offensive load. And as a shooter against Dallas, you actually like that quite a bit. We saw Will Barton do it, you know, and statistically Dallas is one of the worst teams in 3-point percentage allowed. So McCollum isn't a bad play, especially for variance tonight. You know, if you think maybe Lillard will be limited. On the Dallas side of the ball, Deron Williams is a game time decision. I don't think they're going to force him out there on the second half of a back-to-back. It really feels like, why wouldn't they just wait for Williams till after the All-Star break? You know, just rest him up. I don't know. The other thing you got to keep an eye on is Dirk. Dirk, maybe second half of a back-to-back, gets some rest. That's a very distinct possibility, in which case Harrison Barnes, you know, fire up Harrison Barnes, because Barnes without Dirk is big time, you know, a big time value. So, you know, not really touching that game just because it's going to be the lowest pace, lowest total on the night. Way more interested in the other two games, Brooklyn, Charlotte, and Orlando, Houston. But let's go ahead and take that and let's take a look at the players that we love. Who do you love? Okay, so there's not really a lot of studs tonight. There's really only one. And that's James Harden, but I'll go through some of the other top plays and the top cost players. So you can kind of decide where you want to be here. All right. At point guard, you have Kemba. Kemba is priced at 8-9, I believe. 8-9. He's got Brooklyn at home, which you love, you know, pace up with Brooklyn. He plays better at home. He's playing better off of rest. a great DVP situation against the Brooklyn backcourt. He only had 30 FanDuel points against. He's only averaging 30 FanDuel points against Brooklyn this year, you know, basically because he scored, the scoring gets distributed around. But he did have one game where he went off. He just had two other games where he kind of did the backseat thing. You know, compare him to Damian Lillard, basically. It definitely, it's got to be Kemba, just based on pace, based on opportunity, based on the home thing. You absolutely love Kemba over Dame in this situation. So Kemba at 8-9 is definitely locked in there for me. And then going down to shooting guard, you've got James Harden. He is priced at 12-7. You know, on a night when you only have one stud, it's kind of like, it kind of feels like you have to play Harden. Kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. You know, because if he actually goes for 55 or he goes for 60, then you're going to be a little bit screwed unless your other shooting guards. You know, I could see a situation in which people are like, okay, well, I'm not going to play Harden. I'm going to play Batum and McCollum, you know, to kind of get those two, you know, other value plays. I understand that, you know, it would open up some other interesting lineup constructions, you know, your variance. If Harden busts, then, you know, to be off of Harden is a great thing. But if Harden goes, then you're pretty much toast. So, you know, if you're running out two lineups, maybe make one lineup with Harden and one lineup without. That's easy. So, you know, he only scored 14, 10, and 6 last time out against Orlando. They spread it around. And, you know, in home situations when they're favored like this, he usually does pretty well. But so do other players. You know, so do a lot of other players. So, you know, you look at a couple, you got to keep your eye on a couple other Rockets as well in this situation. Orlando, not good against the point guard, not good against the shooting guard, 26 in DVP. So you're not afraid of Orlando defense, but it is probably the case that Aaron Gordon will guard James Harden. And as much as Aaron Gordon is a plus defender and pretty good and a good physical match for Harden, you know, Harden is sort of matchup proof. And if he puts Gordon in foul trouble or, you know, gets him worried about foul trouble, then, which is a very viable strategy for James Harden, then, you know, Harden should be able to have his way with him. At small forward, you literally have no studs. I mean, Harrison Barnes, I'll talk about him later. Harrison Barnes is in play at 6'9", only if Dirk is out. No way I'm touching Harrison Barnes unless Dirk is out at 6'9". That's just a ceiling price for him. But if Dirk is out, I am locking Harrison Barnes in all day because he will likely go over 35 if Dirk is out. At power forward, you have Serge. you know, it's kind of an interesting situation when Serge Ibaka is your stud at 5'9". But you do like stretch fours. You do like shooting, three-point shooting against Houston. He's got a really nice opportunity in this game. Houston allowing 49% shooting to the forward. They allow 5 threes per game. And Ibaka, you know, definitely has the green light from Vogel right now to just kind of fire away and really give some light to that offense. He's had more than 35 points in 3 of the last 5 games. He totally busted last game against Atlanta, but that was a blowout. And so you have to think that, you know, maybe he has an opportunity for a little bit of a bounce back here. He will be chalky, though, to be clear. Like, he will be very chalky. So moving on, then it's got a similar front court partner in Orlando, Vooch. You really like the matchup against the Houston front court. They've been absolutely terrible to the center. Bottom 5 in DVP to the center as of late. You know, you saw that massive game that Dwight put up against them. And Vooch has been excellent of late. You know, he, like Serge, I think Vogel has shifted his offensive focus to the front court. He's been getting 35 plus minutes. If this is a competitive game, you like Vooch to get over 30 minutes, and he's been performing. He has more than 41 points twice in the last couple games when he's gotten over 35 minutes. So if you like this, if you think this game stays close, and you can get 3 quarters out of this game, then Vooch definitely hits value, and he definitely does really well for you at the center position. Okay, let's move on to the middle tier. We already talked about guys who are kind of in the middle tier who qualify for sure, but I guess we'll just kind of go down and at each position and talk about the next level of player. At point guard, you've got Yogi at 6'1", and then you've got Patrick Beverley at 5'6". I think they profile very similarly. You know, they're defensive-minded point guards who don't necessarily or aren't relied on to do a ton of scoring. Yogi played extremely well against Portland last game, but remember, his price was down then. It was like 4'9", and he hit like 70% of his shots. You just don't think that that's going to happen again. Damian Lillard's not going to let Yogi Ferrell go shoot 8 threes. You know, they're going to keep an eye on that. You know, and you've even seen some slow regression from Yogi recently. He had a nice game last night for sure, hit value at 5'6", but he's now up at 6'1". You need him to score 30 points. I don't know if that's going to happen with Yogi Ferrell. I think we're going to see some regression. I think he's going to slowly get his price back down. I think Beverley is an interesting situation as well. You know, buyer beware with Patrick Beverley, of course. But he's facing Elfrid Payton, who's been absolutely terrible against the point guard. You know, you don't love Beverley's recent production. He's only had 2 games with over 20 points in the last 5, but he's a good price. You know, if he gets you 20 at this price on this slate, you're not that upset with him because, you know, the reality is that Farrell will probably get you in the 20s as well. You know, Damian Lillard will probably get you in the 30s in this game. You know, you just don't, point guard is kind of messy. So I don't mind Beverley at all. He's got a great matchup. His minutes are super consistent. You know, he does not really have a ceiling, but he did own Elfrid Payton last game. Like his last game against Elfrid Payton was his ceiling game. Like it was like he had 37 FanDuel points. So, you know, he's at home. And when we talk about how much other guys succeed in the Rockets offense in these plus matchups, you know, Beverley is one of those guys. You know, you look at guys like Ariza or Beverley or Ryan Anderson, you know, they succeed when the Rockets are favored by more than 10. So, I like Beverley a little bit in this game, and I think people will be scared of him, rightfully so. And I think people will look at Yogi and say, I trust Yogi a little bit more. I just don't really like that game on this slate. So, I'm okay with Beverley. I'm at shooting guard. You've got shooting guard is actually, unfortunately, like the best position, you know, right now. You know, usually it's like I feel like center is my favorite position on a slate. Shooting guard tonight is by far the best spot. You got Nick Batum at 7'4". He's got one of the best matchups on the slate. He has owned Brooklyn this year. He had 41 against his last game against the Nets. You know, he needs a good bounce back. He's struggled lately. I feel like Batum is kind of a must on this slate, but of course, I also like Batum. I've played Batum in a lot of situations when he's really helped me. You know, McCollum is right there, but like McCollum's only in play if Damian Lillard is out, and he's probable. So I don't think McCollum is really in play. I don't like him in a negative pace situation. He's scoring dependent, you know. He can definitely score against the Mavs. You know, we saw Will Barton do it last night because the Mavs do not defend the three. So I think McCollum is in play for tournaments. But I think Batum is definitely the safer play. He's priced cheaper. Pace up situation at home. The other one is really, really interesting is Fournier. Fournier has a pace up situation with Houston. He's priced really well at 5'6". You know he can score you 30 very easily. I think Fournier is definitely in play, and Seth Curry is there too. You know, he didn't play well last night at all. In fact, he burned me. And he was definitely part of the reason that people didn't cash, because he basically, after he couldn't guard Will Barton for whatever reason, couldn't figure that out, they pulled him, and no Mavericks starters really got any minutes. No starters got any minutes in that game after the 22-point lead at the half. So frustrating, but if I'm going to rank those second-tier shooting guards, it's probably Batum 1, Fournier 2, Curry 3, and McCollum 4. McCollum, the price combined with the pace down, I just don't love that, you know, and I think Batum is in the best situation, then Fournier is the best price for his situation, so those guys are both definitely in play. At small forward, I already mentioned Harrison Barnes. Only in play if Dirk is out. His price, I don't know why the price is up to 6'9", but it is. You know, he doesn't really do ceiling things, Barnes doesn't. And at 6'9", you want him to get 40 points, and he's not going to do that unless Dirk is out. But if Dirk rests, then sure. So it's MKG. MKG, one of the best situations on the slate. You know, he's definitely going to be chalky. People are going to like him. The combination of price and reliability are there. The minutes are very consistent. And, you know, Brooklyn is terrible against the small forward. He'll get Bojan Bogdanovic defense. I also really like Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon priced all the way down at 4'6". Pace-up situation. They need him in the game against Harden. You know, he could be the key to how the Magic keep this game close, you know, and we know that the offense really isn't going through Gordon right now. It's going through Serge and Vooch, but, you know, if Gordon is going to get 30 plus minutes at 4'6", he only needs 25 points, you know, to exceed value. So 25 points, 30 minutes, that's not crazy for Aaron Gordon. So I don't mind Aaron Gordon at all, especially priced down in this plus matchup, or not plus matchup, but like plus situation. You do attack the wings of Houston. And, you know, I think that he's in a good position. And then at power forward, you have Marvin Williams. You also have Trevor Booker. I don't mind Trevor Booker at all. I just don't trust Trevor Booker's minutes. And like if you look at his game logs, you wouldn't either. You know, if there's more guys out in the front court for Brooklyn beyond Caris LeVert, then okay, maybe. But Booker just kind of, you know, some games he'll get 20, some games he'll get 32. You know, and I just don't necessarily trust him. So it's Williams, who is the opposite. He's a lock for 30 minutes. He gets a nice pace bump against Brooklyn. He gets a DVP bump as well. His price is very reasonable. He's deadly consistent in his contributions. He had double-digit rebounds against Rudy Gobert. I thought that was really interesting. It's crazy to me that he was able to get in there and get 10-plus rebounds in the Utah game. I was interested in that. The other one that's in play, very much in play, is Ryan Anderson. Ryan Anderson has huge upside, obviously. We know he can shoot the three. I think if you're rolling out a GPP lineup, Ryan Anderson is kind of a must because he's kind of one of the only value ceiling plays that you have on this slate. You know, like if you think of a player who could go, you know, 7X pretty easily, we know he has a ceiling of 7X, then that's Rhino. So I like Rhino quite a bit. Marv for cash, Rhino for tourneys. And then at center, it's Clint Capella. You know, Vucevic has been playing well, but he's not an excellent defender. You know, they're middle of the pack against the center. Capella has been playing well, and Capella is priced very reasonably at 5'1", at home. You know, I think if you're looking for a value starter, which you are, like if you're trying to play cash games tonight, which, hey, there's cash games out there to be played. Like, you know, everybody says play GPPs on small slates, and that's true. Definitely play some GPPs on small slates. I get it. I think, however, that Capella is in an interesting situation. He's a good choice on this slate. So I think you could do worse than Clint Capella. I like him, especially if Nene sits, which I think Nene will, then, you know, you're going to probably see 28 to 35 minutes of Clint Capella. In the bargain basement here, at point guard, there's really nothing in the bargain basement that you want. I'm not touching the Brooklyn point guard situation, just not doing it for me. At shooting guard, it is Sean Kilpatrick. shooting. Sean Kilpatrick is really nice at 4K. He's been getting extra minutes with LeVert out. Charlotte struggles with three-point shooters, and, you know, I think that Kilpatrick is firmly in play, but, it, you know, shooting guard is just kind of the only spot that actually has a couple players that you really want in this slate. So it's kind of hard to say, I want Kilpatrick, you know. Do you want Kilpatrick over Fournier? Do you want Kilpatrick over Batum? You know, he has 30-point upside. You know, absolutely he does. Just, you just don't trust those rotations in Brooklyn. And you know, he could lose minutes to Joe Harris if Joe Harris gets hot. You know, I don't know. At small forward is Bojan Bogdanović. Similar situation to Kilpatrick, right? He's probably going to get the start. Charlotte allows a lot of three-pointers. Bojan Bogdanović is a three-point shooter on Brooklyn. So, you know, if he gets hot, he does have a ceiling, and it's, you know, kind of a ceiling, I guess, as much ceiling as Bojan has. You know, if you've ever tried to play with the, you've ever tried to start Nets, you know how frustrating and like terrifying it is all at once. The other one that's interesting is Decker. Like, if anyone sits, like, if you get, like, an Eric Gordon will rest, or, like, you know, Trevor Ariza will rest. Like, any of those guys sit, Decker is, like, very much in play. He gets that huge bump. He will also, if this game gets to a blowout, he gets the fourth quarter run in garbage time, for sure, no question. Other than that, I don't think you can play him 3,500 just because he's only going to get you 15 minutes or so. So keep your eye on the news. Decker could be in play if there's any Rockets news. Power forward, it's Frank the Tank. Frank the Tank is still priced really well. He's actually one of my favorite value plays besides Kilpatrick. Frank the Tank is going to get the start if Zeller can't go. I don't know that Zeller will go. In my mind, it's kind of like the same as the Deron Williams thing. Like, why don't we just let him rest another day? It's Brooklyn. You know, I think Frank is definitely in play. Not to mention, Frank will get extra run if this game gets out of hand. So you get the combination of Frank has a pretty good role in the rotation. He's got a nice price. He's got a nice pace. I think Frank is definitely in play for some savings today. People will be on him for sure, no question. And they'll definitely be on him if the news comes out that Cody Zeller will sit and Frank Kaminsky will get the start at center. But I really like that situation. I love that situation, and I love Frank there. At center, you also have, interestingly enough, Miles Plumlee. Not Mason Plumlee, not the Portland one. Miles, his brother, who just got traded. He might get some run in a plus situation against Brooklyn. You know, he got 17 minutes last game, and he had 17 points. I don't know. I mean, maybe you get the news that, you know, Zeller is out, and Frank Kaminsky and Miles Plumlee will share center duties. In that situation, Plumlee is not a terrible start. You know, he had a 8 rebounds and 2 blocks in that last game. I'm not, kind of sneaky, I don't think he'll be low owned, and he could have a decent game, you know, at a very inexpensive, I think 4-2 or 4-1, a very inexpensive price at center. So, you know, definitely a GPP type play. I am looking at lineup lock now. I've created a lineup here, and I'm going to be completely honest with you. I have completely eliminated the Portland-Dallas game. I hate the idea that you could get burned by a pace-down situation. I would rather take the security of a high total and a high pace, which you have two totals over 220 in Brooklyn-Charlotte and Orlando-Houston. Or close to 220, I can't remember. You know, and in my mind, if I'm building lineups, and I'm for cash games especially, this is a cash core, you know, and I know people are saying GPP only tonight. Okay, fine. People will play 50-50 still, and there's still money to be made in 50-50s, and there's still, you know, money to be made on a short slate. So don't be scared of cash games. You just have to be really kind of careful about it and intentional. So I'm just doing kind of a double game stack here of Brooklyn, Charlotte, and Orlando, Houston. I basically have gone 50-50 on both games. I've got 5 and 4 players from each. And I'm not touching the Portland Dallas game. I don't want to try to solve that mystery. You know, definitely some of those guys are in play. I don't mind if you like those players. I just want the security of pace here in this situation. And so I'm just stacking these two games, you know, based on pace. Okay, so at point guard, I've got Kemba and Patrick Beverley. At shooting guard, I've got James Harden and Nick Batum. At small forward, I've got Aaron Gordon and MKG. At power forward, it's Frank the Tank and Serge Ibaka. And then at center, it's Clint Capella. I like that lineup. Doesn't bother me at all, honestly. You know, and if you don't love Nick Batum, you can get down to Fournier and, you know, spend some money on Harrison Barnes, which is definitely a possibility. If we get Dirk news, then that's what I'll do. I'll probably take my money from Batum and get it on to Harrison Barnes. That would be the only play that I really like in that game. But of course that's all dependent on Dirk news. So, you know, a nice little core to start with there, all up in pace situations, you know, the combination of reasonable, you know, of pace and good DVP situation, and all these, they fit the checklist, you know, that I'm looking at, you know, and I think this is a halfway decent lineup. If I could find a way to get on maybe Vooch, I would, but I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to force it, to be completely honest with you. Clint Capella for 25 sounds fine to me against the Orlando front court. All right, guys, that is it for me. Hit me up on Twitter or don't. Tonight's a perfectly good night to take off. We got a huge slate tomorrow, so you can always just take off, you know, keep your bankroll nice and crisp until Wednesday. And move on to Wednesday. I totally would understand. Maybe play some free lineups. Oh, there's the Great Wall trailer free roll on FanDuel. If you click on the picture of Matt Damon in the Great Wall movie and you watch the trailer, you can play in that free roll and $20 to the winner. So not really a lot of incentive to try and take down a GPP for $20. But okay, it's free. And it's kind of hilarious to see Matt Damon in an action movie about Asia. Does not make any sense to me. I don't know how that happened, but we don't have to talk about Matt Damon and the Great Wall anymore. Good luck in your contest tonight, guys, and I will see you tomorrow.